Anybody need a prayer slip?
Good morning. I am so glad to be up here, and I'm so glad you're here. Otherwise, I would be preaching to myself, which wouldn't be a bad thing either. we've attended Seders this last week and celebrated Passover, and we've remembered how God set the Israelites free from their bondage of slavery in Egypt. He brought them through the plagues, he brought them through the sea, and he brought them to the beautiful land that he had promised them. And I hope today my message will encourage you to be free of what might be plaguing you and brings you through to forgiveness. Every Shabbat, as we did just a few minutes ago, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or those who trespass against us. Oh, the debts and the trespasses that we accumulate in our lives and actually cause, too. From the day we're born until the day we die, we are vulnerable to pain. We may suffer abuse or neglect by those we love or by strangers. We can suffer abuse and neglect physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. We can also be guilty of hurting others, either intentionally or unintentionally. Look at the trespassers in the Bible. I mean, you only have to go a few chapters and you already see disobedience against God. Then blame. Eve blames the serpent. Adam blames Eve. And then, following that, Cain, in a fit of jealousy, he kills his brother. So the longer we read the Bible, the more we see trespassers, the longer the list becomes. Trespassers, sinners. And within the story of my own life and my own family tree, I have quite a list too. Lack of paternal love, parental favoritism, unfaithful and unloving husbands, sexual identity crises, pornography, unresolved grief due to regrets, physical abuse, rape, betrayal by a friend, unpaid loads of money to friends and family, spiritual abuse, rejection, the list goes on. Divorce, childlessness, adultery, false accusations. Perhaps you or your family have experienced some of these things, or maybe you can add to your own list, this ugly, ugly list. Things done to us or by us. What about prejudice? Jews against Arabs. Arabs against Jews. Both against Christians. Men against women. Women against men. People against other nationalities or religions. What about criticism or unkind words or lies? Has someone stolen your honor or your reputation? What about murder? Has someone from whom love was due to you withheld it? Have you ever withheld love or care from somebody? Ashamedly, I admit, I have. Perhaps you are affected by one of these things that I've read, or your own, you have your own list. God does not want us to suffer under these things. He doesn't want you to carry them. He doesn't want you to stay in bondage, okay? He didn't leave the Israelites in Egypt. As a Christian, many, many times we are going to have to forgive. At least 70 times 7. We face the need to forgive people, probably almost on a daily basis. Whether it's a large offense or a small, we can be damaged, we can be hurt, we can be victimized. We can also be guilty. But through the blood of our Passover lamb, Jesus, we have this wonderful gift, forgiveness. Through Jesus, it is ours for the receiving and also for the giving. But the choice is entirely ours. So what does it really mean to forgive? I mean, we pray the Lord's Prayer almost every week here. To forgive means to send away, to yield, to let go, to disregard, to give up, to keep no longer. It means to depart or leave or go away from one, leave him to himself so all mutual claims are abandoned. It also means to go away, leaving something behind. Debts or trespasses mean sins, failures, offenses, moral transgressions, or what is justly or legally due to us. Why do we need to forgive? Well, we could probably all quote those scriptures, and we would all say, look at Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And again in Mark 11:25-26, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So what can unforgiveness do to you? I remember well, years ago, I came to the realization that a close relative that I'd known and loved for years was bipolar, a Jekyll and Hyde personality. If you're familiar with the character in Robert Louis Stevenson's book, actually this term Jekyll and Hyde has come to mean a person whose character or personality can change from one time to the next. I struggled to understand how a believer could behave and treat people in her life with such love and care one day and with such anger and unkindness the next day. During this time, I happened to pick up a very old, very fat, very heavy medical journal. And the very first thing I saw in this journal, it was from the late 1800s. It was not a recent book. So the first part was an in-depth article written by a medical doctor all about the need for forgiveness, both human and divine, and how unforgiveness affects our physical, mental, and our emotional health. I truly believe that my relative's condition was brought about by a lack of forgiveness for those in her life who had hurt her, or actually that she just perceived had hurt her. If you check out the topic of forgiveness on the internet, you'll see that unforgiveness does and will manifest itself in your body, mind, and also your spirit, in bitterness, depression, negative thinking, and a wide variety of health issues from hair loss to death. Many of the major medical centers have articles on this subject and the link between forgiveness and wellness. It's not just a spiritual matter. I want to say also talk about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not denying that you've been hurt just because you're Christian and you're supposed to forgive. For some people, denial becomes a way of survival, but it's certainly not God's highest and best for you. I just read this. Cindy Jacobs, who's the founder of Generals for Intercession, and she's a well-known speaker. She writes this: some people are in touch with others and out of touch with themselves. They stuff their pain, they deny their pain, and they project their pain by blaming others. But God did not create us to carry our hurts. Undealt with pain is like an infection, when left untreated, can destroy our destinies. If we are to become all God intends for us to be, we must allow the Holy Spirit to ferret out all those hurt places within us and heal our broken hearts. Healing begins with truth. Forgiveness is not condoning. It's not absolution. It's not excusing. It's not condemning. And it's not seeking justice. It's a conscious response to an injustice, actual or perceived. It is releasing yourself of the stress and trauma of being bitter. It is letting go, and refusing any resentment or revenge. Forgiveness is also not simply saying, I'm sorry. Most of you, maybe all of you, heard parents say to their child who has done something naughty to someone else, say you're sorry, but is the child sorry? Are these just meaningless words that create a habit of falseness that carry through to adulthood? Love and true forgiveness must be sincere. Serious trespasses should not be taken lightly, nor should they be swept under the carpet like dirt you don't want to see. They should not be ignored. In fact, the Bible says we can be angry. Jesus was angry. Jesus was perfect, and yet he was angry at the money changers being in his Father's house. And his passionate response of overthrowing those tables demonstrates his righteous anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and give no opportunity to the devil." There is a time to be angry. So when do we need to forgive? Well, what's the verse say we just read? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That means today, today. The longer you hang on to unforgiveness, the harder and heavier it becomes to bear. I have a personal experience on this. 3 years ago, I wrote a children's book on forgiveness. And it was a pretty exciting time in my life because I went to people to help with the production and found out they'd been praying for wanting a book, and they were thrilled about the topic. So it was accepted. They commended the story as well written. And I was just rejoicing this book that had been on the back burner of my mind was going to become a reality. Well, sadly, there arose an issue of unforgiveness between two people involved with me in the project, and it wasn't dealt with then. And today, these several years later, the situation has escalated into such ill feelings towards one another that only with God's help and intervention will it ever be resolved. And so my book is not published yet. So please note that pain that's not dealt with is going to become a stronghold of the enemy in your life. If you have been rejected in your efforts to do what is right and pleasing to the Lord, do not allow this to become a stronghold that's built up in your mind. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord for healing and release, and do not let that stronghold stay one day longer. So how do we really forgive? Well, I used to work with kids at a Christian school many, many years ago. And so I want you to go back. You can picture yourself or your kids or your grandkids. And like, I am a great grandma. I have lots of grandkids and kids. So consider, let's look at a child on the playground, and they're suddenly pushed around by another child. Okay, how do they react? First, there's shock. I can't believe this just happened. Then there might be the scream at the pain or the sight of blood. Then there might be the what I call the slap, slug, or shove. There's retaliation. Then there might be the sweep aside. One of my little grandsons used to do this. Fall down. Well, I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't know if it's pride or embarrassment, but child is obviously not okay, obviously wounded, but says, I'm okay. Then there might be the sobbing, tears of sorrow over the pain, or tears of anger at the offender. Then there might be the smoldering. It's like, how am I going to get even? Sometimes there's a sorrow. You maybe see a child that's fallen down and they just whimper and sob for a long time, and maybe they retreat instead of going back to the playground. Then there comes a moment, this is a healthy moment, when the child may see what happened. Maybe that was an accident, or maybe that was an intentional push. But most likely they shake it off and get up and realize, okay, I'm not damaged permanently. Yeah, it hurt. There may be a scar. But it's over. Let's go play. Let's go have fun. And joyfully skips away. Well, as adults, we're not much different. When something bad, horrible happens to us, we're in shock at first. Wow, what just happened? Why did this happen? Sometimes we scream in the pain, and our hearts may feel like they're bleeding. Sometimes we really want to evoke the slapping ministry. I'm just kidding, there isn't one. We want to lash out against the person that hurt us. Sometimes we just want to push aside our emotions and say, I'm okay. We don't want to deal with it. Then there might be the sorrowing, the tears of anger towards the other person. And sadly, there could be the smoldering. And we see this smoldering in the story of David's son Absalom, who didn't at first respond when his sister Tamar was raped by his brother Amnon. That story is in 2 Samuel 13. But later, he murdered his brother. Then there's the sorrow, the agony and pain that does not heal or go away. An adult may even retreat in sorrow and depression for days, for hours, even for years. The Bible says Tamar, she remained desolate in her brother's house. It's a sad state when we have been hurt. Eventually, we have to come to that place where we see the truth of what happened. Was it an accident? Was it a sin by the offender? And we have to shake it off. And by shake it off, I think Hannah is a perfect example of this. She'd been ridiculed for years by her husband's other wife, Peninnah, because she, Hannah, was childless. What did she do? She went to the Lord. She went to the Lord and she prayed to the Lord. So eventually, with God's help and forgiveness, we realize this incident that happened to me does not have to be permanent damage. I do not have to be a victim. Yes, it hurt. Yes, there may be a scar, but it's over. And God, with God's help, I'm going to get up and go on with life joyfully. So who do we need to forgive? I think first off, we need to look at the incidences in our life that are weighing on us, that causes pain. Are you blaming God? Are you blaming God? Sometimes the root of our hurt or anger, is our anger at God. Why didn't he prevent this? Why didn't he act? Why, God, aren't you healing me of this disease? And why, God, did my dad die? Why don't I have children? Why aren't I married? Why did he take my child from me? And why don't I have the ministry he promised to me? There can be these big, huge issues in our lives for which we have no control unless we pull a Sarah, as she did with Hagar, and take things into our own hands. All our angers and frustrations for these things are ultimately aimed at God. Consider Job. All that he went through, his wife says, curse God and die. And he says, shall we indeed accept good from God and not adversity? Realize in your situation, if you're feeling angry at God, you don't know the why. Humble yourself before him and let forgiveness heal these bleeding sores in your heart. We also need to forgive ourselves. When we have failed, when we've disobeyed God, when we've chosen our own way and not his, when we've ignored his guidance or his word and we've blatantly sinned. Maybe we married the wrong person, had an abortion, sexual sin, the list goes on. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Receive his amazing grace in your mind and your soul, and then forgive yourself. Remember the words of Jesus to the woman caught in adultery. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Has Jesus forgiven you? Receive his gift, his generous gift. So obviously we need to forgive each other. Are you holding a grudge against somebody? Is there a deep wound in your heart caused by the hurt another person has caused you? Maybe you haven't released them to forgiveness. Jesus understands and he feels your pain. He also knows your need to forgive. Forgive that one who caused you so much sorrow. Job, since I mentioned Job earlier, in Job 42:10 it says, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. These were the same friends that had accused him of wrongdoing. Don't be like a minister friend, a woman minister that a friend told me of recently. She had been physically abused by her father. And she had an opportunity to speak to a group, and she was speaking on the subject of forgiveness. But she said, there are some things that just cannot be forgiven. Really? I ask you, what sin is so great that the gift of God Almighty, with the sacrifice of his son, our Passover lamb, what sin is so great that he cannot forgive? And I want to go so far to say, and I believe the Bible says it, if you refuse to forgive the one that hurt you, you're refusing to love them. Look at 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love only those that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Think about Matthew 5:23. You bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. What if someone won't forgive you or receive your forgiveness? I have my own personal experience in this. Some years ago, a brother in the Lord invited me to be on one of the leaders, be one of the leaders of a ministry he was leading. Not long after that, I had a very strange dream. I was meeting this man in a park, but I decided to take a shortcut through a small hole in the tall wooden fence along the side of the park, rather than walk around it. And to my surprise, going through this small hole, I came up in a play structure for children. And I don't know if they have this kind in Israel, but in America, they have these wheels that they can turn, like a big steering wheel, only it's like the top of a round table. Well, I, in my dream, came up under that table and was absolutely stuck. I couldn't go forward. And the hole was so small, I couldn't go backward. I called to my friend. He was close enough to hear me, but he would not respond. Not long after that, the same ministry leader that I thought was my friend changed his attitude towards me. He withdrew ministry responsibilities from me for no apparent reason. It was very hurtful. I mean, I felt like, you know, anyway, I won't go into that. I distinctly remember, though, the point where I said, I'm just going to brush this aside and forget about it. The Lord spoke very clearly to me and said, embrace the pain. Now, I thought that was really odd, but I think the Lord wanted me to embrace the pain to help me truly forgive this man and to truly learn about forgiveness. Romans 12:17-18 says, repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, in verse 21, but overcome evil with good. So I made many efforts to try to communicate with this man and figure out what went wrong. What did I do? I must have offended him. Soon, I was completely removed from the ministry. I mean, I literally felt like I'd been fired. And, you know, quite honestly, it was very hurtful. And the only reason he gave was personal reasons. Whatever that meant. He refused to accept my forgiveness or to even release me from his unforgiveness. So that dream I had was prophetic. I felt trapped in this situation. I was very hurt, and I cried out to the Lord because if I felt like there was no healing, but God is so merciful, and he did, in a most amazing way, totally heal my heart. Did this man ever reconcile with me? No. I think there's a reason that verse is in Romans that says, if it's possible, and as much as it depends on you. There are people, there are Christians, who we refuse our efforts at peace with them. Whether the other person accepts our efforts at reconciliation or not, we are still responsible before God to make the effort. Respond to the injustice of others with forgiveness without condition. Unload the hurts, don't store them up. In loving and forgiving others unconditionally, we practice the teachings of Jesus, and we ourselves fully receive God's divine gift of forgiveness. And that in turn will bring inner healing to our lives, and we will have the inner calm and peace that comes from freeing ourselves from the harmful effects of holding grudges and being resentful, from bitterness and ill will towards others. And all that, well, you're going to see marked improvements in our physical health. We're going to experience the benefits of forgiveness in this life and in the life to come. And please, if someone is coming to you for forgiveness, don't leave them trapped. I read this yesterday. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you. So if you need to forgive someone who has hurt you, I encourage you to go to the Lord and ask him for help. Remember, he has forgiven all your sins, all your failures, all your debts, all your trespasses. And he will continue to give you grace for all the sins you commit now and in the future. And practice what the Word of God says. Go now, as soon as possible, to the person who hurt you, if at all possible. If not, call them. Write them a letter. Write them an email. Maybe that person has died. Sometimes that happens. We have hurts caused by people who have died. You may need to go to their grave. You may need to go to a site that was familiar, reminds you of them, or look at their photo. You need to close the debt book. You have to have closure to be able to move on. I had a friend, she became my good friend while my husband was very sick with cancer, and so shortly after he died, she borrowed a substantial sum of money from me to get her son's teeth fixed. In my love for her and my emotional state of grief, I agreed. Almost immediately, she withdrew her friendship from me. I was, like, shocked. After some years of trying unsuccessfully to get her to repay the debt in full, I even took another sister with me and talked to her face-to-face, trying to follow the biblical pattern. No success. So, as I was praying, I felt like the Lord gave me two scriptures. And so I wrote them in a letter to her, and that was my closure. I forgave her. I forgave the debt. It was done. So, done. Years later, while I was here in Israel, I broke a tooth, and I needed a crown. At this very time, this friend contacted me, and so God had been dealing with her about repaying the debt. Lo and behold, the amount she paid covered my tooth. It was a God thing. Yeah, and so when we release people to forgiveness, it releases God to work in their lives. And I saw this firsthand in this situation. So consider these examples in God's Word. Of course, our best example is Jesus on the cross, beaten, bleeding, as he was crucified, cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then we see Stephen being stoned as he's proclaiming the good news of Messiah. And he cries out with his last breath, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." We also have the wonderful example of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery in a foreign land. He was later unjustly imprisoned. What was Joseph's response? Genesis 50:20. "As for you, you meant evil for me, but God meant it for good." And I also love the example of the father of the prodigal son. He saw his son from afar, and he had compassion on him, and he ran to him. If someone has hurt you and you need to forgive them, run to them. Run to them. Do not be like the elder brother who was so angry about this, he refused to join in the homecoming celebration of his younger brother. Whatever trespass you have committed or that has been done to you, remember the words of Ephesians 4:31 and 32. "Let all bitterness And all wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Look to Jesus. He is your Passover lamb. He is my Passover lamb. He was slain for all our sins. Forgive others because he forgives you. And be free. Be free of anything that's keeping you in bondage.